Welcome back to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio is the co-host of the broadcast, Dr. Greg Huffman, who also serves on the pastoral team at the Brookside Baptist Church. And Greg, we have our Bibles and a great topic that we're right in the middle. In fact, we're talking about the Sermon on the Mount, and we've zeroed in on the very first part of the sermon where the Lord talks to us about the internal character of his disciples. So I'm looking forward to our discussion today.
Well, I am as well, because it's something that it sounds good and looks good on paper, but boy, you know, when you really say, what does this really look like? I mean, how would I know when I've reached that point? And I guess that's really the question I have for you today, Pastor Sam.
Well, you know, it's like that with any portion of God's Word. The explanation part is glorious. The application part is absolutely painful.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really where the Lord goes. We're talking, obviously, about the first quality that the Lord talks about needing to cultivate in our life if we're going to be really an effective ambassador. And we were talking about being poor in spirit. And if you remember, you gave us a phenomenal application of that, or illustration of it. And it might be worth you just mentioning that again.
I was just talking about the fact that when we have the opportunity to represent our country as a foreign ambassador, that we have to start thinking like the President of the United States, because we will be representing him with everything we say, do, how we act, where we go, and opinions that we give out. So therefore, we would have to know the President so well. It's kind of like an executive pastor has to know the pastor so well that whenever a decision comes up, he knows immediately what that pastor would say, what that pastor would think. The same thing would be true with an ambassador. What would the President want me to say if he were sitting right here in my seat?
And you know, that's really a biblical illustration, because Paul talks about the fact that we are ambassadors of Christ. So in essence, as we drive to work today, or as we go to the grocery store today, or as we sit in our office, or we're maybe at school, or wherever we are today, we have the responsibility of making sure the people around us know what Jesus thinks and what he feels and what he's like. And in order for us to do that, we're going to have to inculcate in our own character what his character is like. All of these Beatitudes reflect what the Lord is like. And we were talking about poor in spirit, and we noted that that term really means lowliness of mind. In other words, it means that we are completely dependent people on God rather than independent people. We've set aside our pride of person, our pride of possession, our pride of place, our pride of performance, and we have become completely dedicated and dependent on God to do as well, just like the Lord was. Now, you ask the question, what does that look like? Well, you know, there are some Bible passages that mention the word. There is a word in the New Testament that really does describe the quality that we're talking about, and it's the word lowliness. And it means to take the lowest place. It's one of those words that what it says is what it means. It means to take the lowest place. And in essence, that's what it's really referring to. In a lot of contexts, this word would have been used by a class of people that we don't have in our culture today. In fact, when we think about this class of people, our nation at one time went to war over this. But we're talking about a class of people in some culture that are called slaves. And these are people who have no rights.
They have no will of their own.
No will of their own. They totally exist in those cultures to do the will of the person who owns them or who is their master. Nobody cares about the opinion of a slave. Nobody cares about the rights of a slave. Nobody cares about his plans or his dreams. I mean, basically, a slave is the lowest form of human life on the planet. And that's what this word talks about. And in fact, that's what Jesus Christ came to be. Philippians says that he humbled himself and became obedient, and he took upon himself the form of a
servant.
Now, the word servant in our King James Bible is actually the word for slave.
Bond slave, right.
That's what he became. And if we're going to represent him, we're going to have to think that way about ourselves. Humility is actually a way of thinking toward myself.
Well, how is this possible for a natural born leader?
It's very hard, even for people who are not natural-born leaders. Anybody who's born is going to struggle with this.
Because we have the attitude, if I don't look out for myself, I'm going to get stepped on. I'm going to be a doormat. And obviously, that kind of a person can never get ahead.
Well, I think what has to happen, and I think this is probably where it has to start, is you really have to stop thinking of yourself as an independent person with rights. And you have to really think of yourself as a slave that belongs to God.
That means he doesn't want me to be giving out my opinions and my attitudes and my ideas and my goals. He wants me to spend so much time in his word that I know what his opinions, his ideas, his attitudes and words would be, and speak them from my heart and allow God then to change my life through his word.
Right, and I think that's got to happen.
Hmm.
I think we, particularly those of us who have grown up in the United States of America, where we have a Bill of Rights and we have been constitutionally guaranteed the pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness. We tend to see ourselves as an independent person with rights. And I'm not saying we shouldn't enjoy those things. I'm not,
right.
Boy, I'm very thankful for those things, and I wouldn't want anybody to misunderstand. But I do think what that does for us is it completely removes us from our true identity. That's our temporary identity. Our true identity, our internal spiritual identity, is to be a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we've got to start thinking like a bondservant would think.
So he leaves us here to represent him, to serve others. And it's kind of like that poem I've heard years ago, "Others, Lord, yes, others, help this my motto be. Help me to live for others that I might live like thee." But so many times we quoted, "Others, Lord, yes, others, help this their motto be. Help them to live for others that they may live for me."
Hmm.
And so often we have that second verse underneath everything
right.
we do because we want it to come back to us. I'm going to do this because I expect a return.
Here's the biblical paradigm of what you just said. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness or meekness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself.
Better.
Better. Higher. More worthy than himself.
Well, I don't like that verse. Let's try another.
But that's the point. A bondservant would automatically think that way.
Exactly.
I mean, he might not like it, but that is how he thought. And so how does this get applied to our life? Well, it shows up in a proper assessment of ourselves before God. I mean, if I'm really going to be a bondservant, if I have this quality of selflessness, then it's going to have to start with a proper assessment of myself before God. And here's how that starts. Let this mind be in you, which was also where?
In Christ.
In Christ. And the mind that follows is the mind of a servant.
So if I have that mind, then complaining is not going to be a part of my life.
I can't complain about my lot or my circumstances if this mind is really in me. I've got to assess myself properly. I can't compare.
You remember Peter when Jesus was speaking to him in John 21, and he told him how he was going to die, and he immediately looked at John and he said, "Lord, what about this man?" And Jesus said, "What is that to thee?"
In other words, that has nothing to do with you, Peter. And that's the point. When I properly assess myself as a bondservant, then I don't complain about my lot. I don't compare my lot to that of another. It really mortifies my carnal spirit. I'm not going to lift myself up in pride. I'm not going to resist what God has said, and I'm not going to argue with God about his word. And all of these things, when they show up on my life, tell me, you know what, it's time for a readjustment of your own self-assessment.
And so many times, Pastor Sam, in my counseling opportunities, I can share something with somebody, and they'll sit there and argue with me and disagree and push back, and I can tell by their body language they've shut me down. But often I'll give them a book, and I'll say, "Now I want you to go home and read the first two chapters," because I know exactly what I've just shared is in the book. And I've never seen anybody successfully argue with a book.
Right, you can't argue with a printed page.
You throw it in the corner, you throw it down, but it's still there when
right.
you pick it back up again.
Right. Well, so this starts with a proper assessment of myself before God, but it doesn't end there. It continues with a proper perception of myself to others. And Paul put it this way, be of the same mind one to another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinions.
Ooh.
That hurts. But that really is what a person who is proud does. I mean, he looks at everybody else and he basically says, well, I've got the best ideas, so everybody should do it my way.
And if they don't, well, then they're dumb.
Yeah, or they're not following the Lord. Or
certainly couldn't be right with God, could they?
They've never met one of their ideas they don't like.
Right.
And bottom line, you know, the scripture comes right back at you and says, now don't think that way.
Do you think this is why we have so many difficulties between ourselves, not necessarily at home, but also at church?
I can just speak to my own life, and I would say in my marriage and in my relationships with others and my friends and my ministry, that typically relational tension comes because I have thought improperly about my place before God, and I've certainly acted out of place with them. I haven't preferred them above myself.
Right. We kind of feel like we work for Ford.
Yeah.
We have the better idea.
Yeah, yeah. Unless you work for GM. And then it really gets tough. Here's a third way. It demonstrates itself in proper submission to others. And Peter talks about this in chapter 5, where he lists all the different people we're to submit to in our life. And then it finalizes itself in personal sacrificing of our rights for others. In other words, I'm never going to sacrifice my right for somebody else till I become submissive. I'm not going to become submissive until I have assessed myself properly before God and before my fellows. And that's what being humble is. It's not just, oh, I'm worthless, I'm no good, you know, oh, everybody's better be. That's false pride. Humility is assessing myself properly before God, taking my proper place in my relationships with others, preferring others more than myself, not thinking more highly than I ought to think, and then submitting to my authorities and sacrificing my rights to others. And you know, when I do this and you do this, we're going to advance the kingdom. Well, Pastor, it's been a wonderful time talking together, but we're all out of time. So we're going to have to wrap this broadcast up, and we'll pick up the next Beatitude in the next broadcast. Until then, may the Lord bless you.